KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
75869 online at KUOW.org. I'm Steve Scheer with Katie Sewell, a room full of volunteers, a room full of folks who are helping put this show on, and it's all down to you. Join us.
206-543-9595. We have a goal for weekday that we need to meet by the end of this hour. It's $14,000.
We're not halfway, Katie.
Yeah, we're not halfway. But right now, we are at $6,885, which is
much.
More than I usually make in an hour. So that's pretty good. Well done, people. Well done. But if you have not called, if you're one of the thousands of people who listen to this radio show on a regular basis and have never pledged your support or pledged many years ago and have lapsed, join us at 206-543-9595 or toll-free 1-866-NPR-KOW.
You did not come into public radio to make CEO salary.
No.
You came into public radio because you were enthralled by the sounds of public radio and radio. You were enthralled by the storytelling of public radio. You were enthralled by the news and information that keeps you informed and entertained and awake, aware, plugged in throughout the day. And that is why you listen. And you know, a lot of people have helped pay for that over the years. And that's what we're asking you to do, the gift moving forward. We ask you to call two times a year, but renewing just once. You can be an evergreen member, and then it just rolls over until you say no more. I do that because I don't like to think about it. Maybe you like to do that, or maybe you like to call each time and talk to the folks who are downstairs. Well, they're waiting to hear from you, but we need you to call to keep this service going. We need you to act now because you're listening now, and we're talking to you now, and procrastination is not what we're looking at. We're looking at action at 206-543-9595 or 1-866-677-5869.
I mean, let's face it, another thing that we all love about public radio is that it doesn't have giant commercial breaks breaking up every conversation. A lot of other radio stations have great talk shows on it, but you get to listen for about 5-7 minutes, then you enter another 4-minute commercial break. You get back, you get maybe 10 more minutes of content, you go back into a 6-minute commercial break. It's tiring sometimes, is it not? And it's frustrating. And public radio doesn't do that. It sort of does that around the pledge drive, I guess, if you don't find this fun. But otherwise,
I find it fun.
We don't. I find it fun, too, personally. And a lot of people are, you know, tuning in and listening this whole time. And if you're a person who listens during the pledge drive and haven't yet pledged your support, give us a call, 206-543-9595.
I like to hear the folks I listen to on the radio in different capacity, using words and language differently than we have come to expect. And I like to hear them stumble because everybody gets to hear me stumble all the time. I go, okay, now you know.
Now you know it's not that easy.
Alyssa became a member online, and she writes, as a Generation Wire, I grew up getting my news from shows like Nick News, The Daily Show, 2020, what I like to call human news. That is truth-telling news you can relate to. That's why I love KUOW. That's why I'm a member. Monica pledged online, and she writes, I heart Steve Scheer. I heart Monica.
I also heart Steve Scheer. He's great.
Laura became a member online, and she writes, thank you for keeping me informed and entertained every day. That's our goal.
Edwin in Bremerton pledged. Thaddeus on Thirst Hill pledged because he appreciates the good job. If you do, 206-543-9595.
Support for KUOW comes from the UW Medicine Regional Vascular Center at Harborview Medical Center. The Regional Vascular Center team cares for patients with a broad spectrum of circulatory problems involving arteries, veins, and the lymphatic system. More information available at uwmedicine.org/vascular.
52 degrees in Seattle with a predicted high today of 59. It's been cloudy and rainy, and it's expected to stay that way. Support for NPR comes from the Langloth Foundation, supporting innovative health and mental health programs for underserved populations at langloth.org. 10:09, I'm Bernard Ouellette, KUOW 94.9 Seattle.
Waxy, is there any subject that anybody could discuss that you couldn't whittle the sales angle out of it?
I don't know, let me think. No. We are the crew. You're looking at the writers. We're the, you know, editors, all of that stuff. We had to really bootstrap it.
We just are going to put out the best product we can. We think we're doing that. And there's some stuff to laugh at in there.
A little bit of the old-time radio, which we're going to talk about, how they used to sell things. We're also talking about Metro and how it's answering the dangers from cuts and responding to requests for services and requests for the future. Even facing cuts, a new report finds Metro is performing better. The watchdog group, the Municipal League, says the agency's reallocation of bus service has been fair, the process public for the most part. Metro has gotten better at sharing statistics with the public. It's been more forthcoming about its strategic plans. However, the report concludes that Metro needs to find new sources of revenue to maintain its current services. The Municipal League recommends charging for parking at park and rides, scaling back corporate discounts, eliminating the senior discount for those with means, and charging a fee for private companies such as Microsoft's Connector when they use Metro bus stops. Doug McDonald was a member of the Municipal League's Committee on Metro's Performance. He's a writer for Crosscut, former secretary of the Washington Department of Transportation. Good to see you again.
Thanks, Steve. I thought I was going to have to tell you what the report said, but you just nailed it.
I wanted to make it easier for you so we can get to the behind the scenes. How'd you get here today?
Took the bus.
How was the bus service?
Took the 48. It was great. One bus away.
48?
You know what was coming. Yep. And, bus was full. Got here on time. It was great. But, you know, one of the things is Metro is a great bus system. And we all complain about Metro and we all want it to be better. But it really is a great bus system. And the trick is being constructively critical and positive about how badly we need Metro and what a good job it basically does, but it can be better.
So, you know, you look at something, you look at a report like this, and we could have said, well, I mean, the report says basically things are looking better than they were a year ago when we did this report. And we thought, well, is that news? But I thought for once, fair enough. Here's a report of an agency trying to respond.
Well, I'll put a couple of things out. Number one, the Municipal League looked at Metro in 2008 and issued a pretty critical report. And the Municipal League is the kind of thing we need more of. A fellow named J.D. Wessling worked really hard on this report. The staff, Kathy Elias, worked really hard on it. And they revisited what they did in 2008. And rather than just bang on Metro some more, they have given credit for some really important things that have happened. And fundamentally, you've hit them. Metro's reporting to the public, what you can find out about Metro, is much better. Metro made promises in 2010 after a big process to make some of its service more efficient. The Mini League gives some good marks for starting on that. It points out what some of the challenges are ahead, but it's really important to have this kind of document come from a citizen group. And I worked on it a little bit, and I was really pleased to have that chance. Meanwhile, Metro itself, this report will be out next week. Metro this week issued its own report, which is as good a report as I've ever seen from an agency like Metro. And it's worth seeing, too, because it is also it underscores some of the things Metro's done well, but it is not varnishing over some things it still has to do. And so if you read these two reports together, you have a pretty good idea of what's going on, and now is a good time to do that because we're facing all this question about, well, what happens if the $20 car tab fee goes away and Metro doesn't get new revenue and there's some really big service cuts looming if you don't solve some of these challenges. So to have the foundation of two reports like this, one from citizens and one from the agency, while we're looking ahead at the challenges is a good place to be, but there's a lot of work ahead.
Is this report called What's Ahead? Is that what this report that just put out called? What's it called?
No, the report that Metro has just put out is a 2-year report on the strategic plan that Metro produced 2 years ago in 2010. And that plan set a bunch of objectives. It actually parallels some of the things that the Municipal League suggested in 2008. So you see things moving in a forward direction. And then it set up a bunch of measures and objectives that it said it would make progress on. And 2 years after setting that up, it's reporting to the public about what progress it's made and what progress it hasn't made. And that's one of the reasons it's so reported. It isn't just a high school yearbook that says, you know, the basketball team did great. It's a review. And if you read it carefully, you will find what you need to know to think creatively and constructively and critically about what has to happen next at Metro.
I see. King County Metro Transit 2012 Strategic Plan Progress Report.
Yeah, it's a,
not too hard to find.
Not too hard to find. And if you're a citizen, you know, one of the things you find, you listen to people or you read the comments in the newspaper and you find a lot of people have a lot of opinions. But a lot of people haven't taken the time to go and look at some facts. And one of the reasons is that government hasn't always made that available to people. And so if you see a report like this, you can actually recommend it to people and say, why don't you go have a look? And it's not too hard to find. And with everything on the internet, you know, you can get it. So that's a real value. And then you put the Municipal League report next to it, and you begin to get something very valuable that you might call perspective.
Well, and that's why we thought it was interesting, especially the Muni League report, because the point the Muni League made was nothing's perfect here, but we're getting more transparency from this agency. Not perfect. They wanted some more. That's what seems as we move forward with 70% of their transit system, they're feeling they might lose in 2014. We need, as citizens, to actually see all these numbers clearly. So when a legislator tells us, well, we can make these cuts, but it won't hurt. We want to be able to see what is actually going to be cut and what impact it will have.
And there's a flip side of that, too, which is if you say, well, the system needs more money. I ride the system, and it does need more money. And if you ask yourself the question why it needs more money, ask yourself what it means for Metro that the price of gas, which is reflects the price of diesel, goes to $3.96 or whatever it is. That's money that Metro has to pay to run the buses. And one of the big points that the Muni League report makes is that a big challenge to Metro that Metro has accepted is to try to keep its operating costs in line with inflation or better. And that is proving very difficult. And one of the things that you can find out in detail in the report that Metro itself has issued is some good indicators and some less good indicators about how that's going.
Like what?
But then, for example, the cost of running a Metro bus per hour is up. The cost of putting a passenger on a bus is down. That's because the numerator is more passengers and the denominator is the same cost. So you kind of get these things and they go this way and that way, but you got to dive into them to say, well, what can we do to make all the numbers going in the right direction? And so if you're down in Olympia and you say, well, we need more revenue, you also have to say, we're going to spend the money more wisely and we're going to attend to both sides of the equation. You can't just ask for money and say, well, we've done some things that are helpful. You've got to ask for money and at the same time demonstrate that you'll continue to push for a more efficient system. And we have to celebrate where those efficiencies are happening and demand we get more of them.
Doug McDonald is former state Department of Transportation Secretary. He also worked on a Metro report by the Municipal League, taking a look at their accountability, their ability to be transparent, and some of the service efforts. You have also wrote a couple articles in Crosscut this week, showed up this week. I imagine the one on April 1st was not an April Fool's article, but you were talking about what's happening in Olympia and what legislators could do. Did you by any chance look more closely, I didn't ask you this beforehand, at what the Republicans were proposing in their budget for transport? Well, they don't even put transportation in that budget, do they?
Well, I have, amazingly enough, a new iPhone. And I actually, on the bus, found the Senate transportation proposal from yesterday, and I read it quickly on my iPhone, and that's not exactly a deep review. But it's a starter. It's clearly not going to be the end of the discussion. The press release the rollout announces they're going to have to talk with the House and get someplace in the middle. It's very problematic because one of the things that I stressed in my Crosscut piece a day or so ago was we have got to put money in the most important priority, and at the moment that's in fixing the roads and highways and the transit systems that we already have. And so if you see proposals about how we're going to do this or do that or build a big new project here or there, but you don't see money for the potholes and the repairs and the bridges, you aren't seeing a legislature that's paying attention to what we as citizens know when we use the system. system. And what I wrote in my Crosscut piece was pretty much of a blast on that point. And I guess it really goes to the same thing with the transit system. You can't just ask for more money. When you say we need more money, and we do, and you want to prove it and make that attractive to people as something they want to spend on, you've got to prove that you're going to spend the money well. And if you go out today and ask people, what's the problem? They'll say, well, the roads are falling apart, or there are too many people on the bus. I can't, you know, the bus passed me by. And those are the things that citizens know about the transportation system. And we need Olympia to get on the program that we're on. In a time of scarcity, when money is precious, spend the money to make what we have work.
But is this this would be a different budget than the one they're proposing, because it's going to be a transportation budget that's separate.
Yeah, well, that's right. The transportation budget in Olympia is packaged and done separately from the general fund budget.
What have you heard in writing the piece or in the research you've been doing? Because there was talk of a transportation budget that would raise gas taxes and find some money to do some of what we're talking about. Some transit people weren't happy with what was being discussed. Some roads people weren't happy. But so far, it's been kind of quiet the last few
weeks. Well, what happened several weeks ago, the House Transportation Committee ruled out a plan. I was pretty critical of that plan, but I don't think anybody was very happy with the plan. And the real problem was it wants more revenue and then tries to make everybody happy with how to spend it, and probably doesn't focus enough, to my view, on spending it on the highest priority.
All right, so bottom line, since we're pledged driving, so everything's shorter. Bottom line, we got this Metro report. We got the Municipal League report. Metro is looking at big cuts. What would make you happy in the next few months?
What would make me happy in the next few weeks and months is to see the discussion about new revenue for Metro focus on two things. One, we really need Metro. It makes a difference to people who use it, and it makes a huge difference to people who don't use it because it keeps cars off the road. We're going to have to find money to make that happen, more money. But in order to get that more money, we have to continue the kinds of efficiency improvements that Metro seems to be making. But that job isn't done. It still lies before us, and we have to talk about those two topics together if you want citizens to be happy with the notion that we're getting to a good place.
Well, as Doug McDonald said, you can read the Metro's 2012 Strategic Plan Progress Report at metro.kingcounty.gov. You can search accountability. You'll find it. And we have a link to the Municipal League's report. Actually, I guess we don't have a link yet because they're going to hold it a little bit. But we will have a link, and the information will be there, so you can read those as well. I appreciate you taking the 48 in here, because the 48, a fine bus, often a slow bus.
The 40 late sometimes, but it always serves, it does great for me because it's almost door-to-door, which is what we all want bus service to be.
Indeed it is. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks.
Katie Sewell, that's why we do a weekday too, so we get folks like Doug McDonald to come in. He's nice enough to help us interpret what's going on.
Absolutely. I mean, you can read the newspaper. Sometimes it's hard to get to every article. We're trying to fill in the details, the unanswered questions. Sometimes have a longer discussion about something. Sometimes just clarify something that just wasn't quite clear when we were reading about it or thinking about it. And we often are guided by you, where you'll raise an issue, say, but I don't understand how this works, and we'll look into it a little further. That's the interesting thing about public radio, is how participatory we are, not just in you giving us program suggestions or sending in sound of the day, but we also rely on you to keep us here working, keep this content coming to you at 206-543-9595. Steve, as we were mentioning before, weekday's got a goal of $14,000.
We're over halfway there.
I believe it's our biggest goal of the week.
That's fine.
And we would not like to fall short.
No, we won't, because you folks are there. You're ready, right? You're ready and making it happen. All you have to do is do it right now.
Give us a call, 206-543-9595. Toll free, 1-866-NPR-KUOW. 1-866-677-5869. Go online, KUOW.org. April became a member online because she writes, KUOW has been a fabulous stand-in for CBC Radio since we moved here from Vancouver, BC. Thanks for fighting the good fight.
You're fighting the good fight, too, and we want you to continue fighting the good fight by joining us, pledging your hard-earned dollars of support at what you can afford, what's important to you. Put a dollar amount on this radio station. you listen to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If your radio is plugged in to our call numbers around your house and you move from room to room knowing you won't miss anything. On a Saturday, you're listening to the Jokes of Wait, Wait, and you go from your bedroom to the bathroom to the kitchen to outside. 206-543-9595. You're committed. You are consuming this service. We ask you to help us pay for it. 1-866-677-5869. Why did I start using food metaphors?
Oh, why indeed?
Because Edible Seattle is a magazine published here. And if you pledge at $120 right now, you'll get a subscription. 1 year subscription, 6 issues. You can read about the local foods of Puget Sound. You can be part of the consumption of what's local and healthy and good and learn about it and see who's involved in it. These are your community members. These are your folks. These are the folks that sell you things. These are the folks that are writing about the proprietors of little food stalls around this region. If you're one of those people, just like those food stalls, right? You see their daffodils being sold. You see that it's unmanned. You see the eggs being sold. You still pay for the eggs because you're an honorable person. 206-543-9595. You use this service just like the eggs. Pay for it. Help keep this going.
Many of you shape your day around what's on KUOW. If you're one of those people, give us a call, 206-543-9595. I'm talking about those of you who clean on Saturday mornings because you know you'll have 3 hours of good concentrated, you know, This American Life, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, or Card Talk. Or I'm talking to you people who cook and invite friends over on Saturday night so you can have the swing years on in the background. Or those of you who shape your driving and your work days around weekday or the conversation. If you're a person who knows the schedule of KUOW because you listen and you tune in for certain things, we're hoping to hear from you. 206-543-9595, toll free 866-NPR-KUOW.
Do not wait. We need to hear from you. A couple of phones rang, but mostly we're hoping that you're online pledging at KUOW.org. But while you're listening to this conversation with Eddie Wong, the proprietor of Bauhaus, a Taiwanese street food restaurant in New York City, the author of a book called Fresh Off the Boat. He's a restaurateur. He's a food personality. He's on Vice TV. He also shows up on Food Network and other places. While you're listening, please call as well, 206-543-9595. We want to hear from you. We want to make our goal. We want to keep this pledge drive well nourished, well watered. When Eddie Wong was here, I asked him how his Chinese heritage impacted his life growing up in the States.
I told me and my brother's story of our kitchen, of our family, the decorations on the wall. The only decorations we had were old family photos showing 3 generations of Chinese people. Started off with my grandparents' photos in China, my parents' photos in Taiwan, and me and my brother's photos in D.C., in Orlando. And when you looked at us growing up, Americans, it was funny because me and my brothers had snapbacks and stencil shirt sweaters and hammer pants and all over prints. And it was funny. And to see these generations and to see how, you know, the civil war in China tore people apart. But then also there's a silver lining to everything, you know, and it's like we landed in America. And as painful as it was growing up, I found my own America. I carved out my own place and I shared my story. And it's just my dumb luck that people in New York related and appreciated it. And it's like it constantly, that's the story that constantly gives back to me. You know, like I get to write this book. I get to do the Vice show. I get to be on the radio and talk to you about it. And it's really beautiful because, you know, I never allow myself to be blinded and feel like the world is post-racial or I'm done or I have nothing left to say. But, you know, I just feel like this is the beginning of the rest of my life, this book. And I feel like it is possible for somebody to look like me, to be American and feel American and to be accepted here.
You said that you still don't go through a week where somebody doesn't roll down the window and say, go back to China.
All the time. It's like if I'm crossing the road, it's my own fault sometimes, I guess, if I'm texting and crossing the street and I get in the way of something. It happens all the time. I'm kind of like a space cadet like that. But no, the first thing people say is like, go back to China, or like on YouTube, people always call me a chigger. People always have something to say about that. And
it's mean when they're looking at your, like when we were talking about when they're looking at your Vice TV show?
Yeah.
And then the comments by the trolls?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I don't think people realize that, you know, when you're a person of color in a community that doesn't have much other color, you know, like in the subdivision I lived in Orlando, it was
me and my brothers and Barry Larkin down the street, you know? And so pretty much it was, and there was one Dominican kid whose mom, you know, his father died in the Air Force and his mother remarried. And it was just basically the three of us, Barry Larkin, me, and my friend, my Dominican friend, Eazy-E. And, you know, even though I look Chinese and whatever, I was treated in many ways like the black sheep, the person of color in the neighborhood.
Except you did not accept the role of, you did not take that role lying down.
No.
You were trouble in school. You were the bad kid at school, in part in response to that, right?
Yeah.
When I'm talking school, middle school, high school.
Yeah, no, it was reactionary.
Spam and, guns.
Yeah. No, my life went in three ways, and I think it's very common to people is, you know, if you're a person who's kind of outcast and not understood by people, your maybe first phase of evolution is to be reactionary. And I was reactionary, and I was a bad kid, and I was a troublemaker, and I would just kind of like want to be a contrarian. Then the second phase is getting in a lot of trouble and realizing, look, like, you're not actually who you are. You're a reaction to people's understanding of who you are. And then it really set off a soul search to figure out, like, who is it that I am? Like, what is it that I like? Without, like, purging things out of my mind of the things other people have placed there, who is it that I am? And I think that's something that a lot of Americans go through, is the search for who you really are, what you really love, and to kind of, like, untangle the conditioning, you know, from the nurture element of your life.
Eddie Huang is proprietor of Bauhaus, Taiwanese street food restaurant in New York City. He's also host of a Vice TV series that's on the interwebs, if we don't have Vice TV on our cable channels, called Fresh Off the Boat. His writing has appeared in Grantland, Eater, New York Observer, and Fresh Off the Boat is also the title of his memoir. So who you are, in part, is the way you make those vows. Could you describe one of your favorite recipes and what goes into them? And you, I should say, you are as much a stickler for your food as any other Gordon Ramsay or Anthony Bourdain. You are harsh on some of the other people.
Yeah. No, I am a stickler for the food. And if anybody comes into the kitchen, they'll see. You know, like, I am very, very picky about the way that we make the food items. I'm casual in my dress. I'm casual in my management style. But I'm not casual in the execution of the food. My favorite dish since I was a kid, you know, I always say my favorite thing is soup dumplings, you know. And it's because I don't make them right now at the restaurant. But as a kid growing up, I always loved red cooked pork, which is the recipe that we have for the Chairman Bao. And red cooked pork was always Mao's favorite dish. My father's side of the family is from Hunan, China, where Mao is from. And Hunan is famous for red cooked pork. It's braising pork, and it's a combination of ginger, soy sauce, rock candy, scallions, chilies, and soy, and rice wine, and that mixture creates, I like to call it almost Chinese barbecue, in the sense that you look for a redness to the pork, just like you look for a red ring on barbecue. Mm. You know, red cooked pork, you could tell if it's good and if it's done properly just from looking at the color of it. You know, and that's one thing I teach cooks a lot at Bauhaus, is to cook with sight, you know? Like, you know, a lot of people like to taste and a lot of people like to smell, but I also like to teach them to cook with sight, you know? We have so many orders every day that you have to use your eyes just as much as your nose and your mouth, you know?
It's interesting about that, since you also said you called it Bauhaus in homage to Bauhaus.
Yeah.
The architectural of clean lines and simplicity.
Definitely. Definitely. Like, and also sustainability, you know? And they were very sustainable and efficient, and all their design was efficient, and it was good for industrial spaces. And I really liked the Bauhaus movement. I thought it was very, very interesting, and I think it still lives. And I think the Bauhaus movement still very much dominates a lot of the strategy and philosophy of architecture in, say, you know, Portland or New York or Brooklyn. Like, a lot of people, you still see that those thoughts permeating the architecture of our time.
Have you come here enough to know some food places? Or are you
I've only
you?
Been here one time in 2005 when I actually wanted to go to UW because I wanted to go to law school there. I thought Seattle was a cool city, and I was walking around. I didn't really know anyone, but I stumbled upon – I know it's like a goofy pick, but I thought Piroshki was so cool because I'd never seen anything. Like, I'd never had a Piroshki in my life. So, I mean, I don't know if people here take it for granted, but I thought Piroshki was pretty cool. Like, I'm really into Eastern European food, you know?
Yeah.
Jewish food, Eastern European food. Like, Piroshki was kind of interesting to me. Yeah. It's just different.
I saw a Bourdain called The Layover, and he was in Seattle, and he went to a place I'd never heard of in Rainier that was a Vietnamese place that was making Vietnamese food.
You know, I love Vietnamese food. You know, a few of the foods that I hope that become more represented in America is definitely Vietnamese. Korean food is probably the most it's the best. It's the most undefeated, I think, winter food. When I'm sick in the winter, like, all I eat is Korean food. And Taiwanese food. Taiwanese food is very, very funky. And I wrote an article for Bon Appetit lately about the element of funk in Taiwanese food.
What is it?
It distinguishes it from things. It's like, obviously, the most prominent example is stinky tofu, which is tofu cured in rotten cabbage. But also the use of preserved bamboo, dried shrimp, dried baby fish, you know, the offal intestines, they all lend a bit of funk to things. And then the, like, very prominent use of oysters. We love to use oysters and shellfish and all parts of the pig. So there's numerous ways that in Taiwanese food you introduce that element of funk or stink, which is kind of what is appealing about cheese. And it's kind of permeates all of Taiwanese cuisine, is that kind of stinkiness. Which I think is interesting.
It is interesting because it's about, where did that come from? But people who were poor having to use
preservation.
Yeah. What's next for you as a restaurant owner?
You know, I'm really interested in the idea. Number one, I want to make healthier food, right? I love pork belly, and pork belly will always be on the menu. We'll always have the pork belly. We'll always have the fried chicken. But there are so many other dishes in the Taiwanese and Chinese canon that are things you can eat every day and make a meal out of, you know? And I do really feel like, why hasn't someone done a Taiwanese or Chinese home-style restaurant that kind of plays on that idea of meat and three? So we want to do Bauhaus going forward with, we're going to always have Baos. We're always going to do the best Baos, in my opinion. But we want to open them in different neighborhoods, localize the dishes a little bit, and introduce more things that are on rice with multiple vegetables and leaner proteins. There's just so many dishes I grew up eating that I want to share with people, and I love that kind of meat and three setup.
That's Eddie Wong. He's author of Fresh Off the Boat. He hosts Vice TV, and in New York City, he brings you tasty things on top of rice. You know where else you get tasty things on top of things? In Seattle. You know how you find out about them? One way is to read the magazine Edible Seattle. You know how you get it right now? Pledging $120 at KUOW, and we will send you a subscription to this local magazine. 206-543-9595, 1-866-677-5869. Katie Sewell, I just saw a picture of a little girl, her face covered in what I would think would be tomato sauce, reprimanding me because we still need to make about $6,000 to meet our goal. But we do that. We don't need reprimands. We need your vote of support through the phones.
For those of you who listen to Weekday all the time, give us a call, 206-543-9595, or even to KUOW all the time, 1-866-NPR-KUOW, 1-866-677-5869. You can go online, KUOW.org. Joan in Montlake pledged saying, I just love KUOW, and John in Squim pledged saying, I love Weekday. What do you love? Do you love this radio station? Are you glad it's here? Have you listened for many years and never become a member? Join us now at the $250 level. Get a free subscription to Edible Seattle Magazine as a thank you for your support. Join us at any level, 206-543-9595. Jennifer pledged online and writes, thank you so much for providing stimulating, evocative, and humorous programming.
Yes.
When you pledge online, you can tell us whatever you want. Send a message.
We're using that as our tagline. Weekday. Jennifer says it's
stimulating, evocative, and humorous.
And humorous.
Oh, that's what we try for. It is what we try for.
It is what we try for. 206-543-9595. Make those phones ring off their hooks. Get those volunteers going. Pledge at the $120 level. Get an Edible Seattle subscription. Give us a call at 1-866-677-5869.
KUOW would like to acknowledge the businesses that have donated food and beverages throughout our pledge drive, especially Stumptown Coffee Roasters, Top Pot Donuts, and the Bagel Deli. Thank you for supporting KUOW.
And thank you for supporting KUOW right now when you call 206-543-9595. A cloudy, rainy day in Seattle. We are at 53 degrees, expecting to reach 59 this afternoon.
Support for KUOW comes from the Seattle Art Museum, presenting Rembrandt van Dyck Gainsborough, The Treasures of Kenwood House, London, featuring a collection of European masterpieces. Museum open Tuesday through Sunday. Tickets and information at seattleartmuseum.org.
KUOW and Bremerton Community Theater present Urinetown, the musical. In this satirical comedy, a severe water shortage results in harsh laws regulating restroom use, and violators are exiled to the penal colony Urinetown, April 5th through May 5th. Learn more on the events page at KUOW.org.
Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
This is Jack Benny talking.
Jordan, Rocky Jordan.
Have you ever danced with a murderer?
This is Orson Welles, speaking from London.
King County.
The dawn of the golden age of radio contributed to the rise of advertising in America. First time commercial sponsors directly and intimately connected with potential customers in their homes. But advertising then was more subtle than today. A lot more subtle than a pledge drive, I imagine, where we just come on and say, 206-543-9595, help us make our goal, which I am directly saying to you. Advertisements were woven into the content. They were not clumped in blocks like they are in commercial radio these days. And something you were looking at, Katie Sewell.
Yeah, during the pledge drive, we liked to highlight the fact that we don't have those big commercial blocks breaking up our content like commercial radio has to make money. We have you at our backs, 206-543-9595. The Golden Radio shows also didn't have big commercial blocks. They had things like this.
Ah, thank you so much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is the Pepsodent Kid, Bob Hope, still eating three meals a day with your teeth.
But was Bob Hope singing that he has, were they singing that Bob Hope has very white teeth?
Well, he's the Pepsodent Kid.
So I guess he would.
Yeah, that's the start of the Pepsodent Show with Bob Hope. So not the Bob Hope Show, the Pepsodent Show with Bob Hope. Let's listen to another example.
Oh, we're the men of Texaco. We work from Maine to Mexico. There's nothing like this Texaco of ours. Our show tonight is powerful. We'll wow you with an hour full of howls from a shower full of stars. We're the merry Texaco men. Tonight we may be showmen. Tomorrow we'll be servicing your cars.
Tonight they're singing, tomorrow they're
tonight
taking
they're
out
showmen,
your sparklets.
Yeah, tonight they're showmen, tomorrow they'll be fixing your car. That's the Texaco Star Theater with Fred Allen, which later became a television show hosted by Milton Berle.
Huh.
I love to imagine us doing this kind of thing today.
I do too. Hey, Byrne, pick your favorite underwriting spot and play it, and then I'm going to try to see if I can't write a little ditty for it.
All right, we'll do that maybe at the end. We'll see what happens. Oh, man. Also, by the way, Steve, wasn't unusual back then for performing singing groups to be named after sponsors.
Really?
So you found groups that had names like the Good Dust Twins or Vicks Vapor Rub Quartet.
I would like to have heard them.
It's a little bit different from Michael Jordan wearing Nikes around.
A little bit. Boy, they really open up your chest, the Vicks Vapor Rub Quartet.
Another great way that they got advertising woven into radio shows was by having pitchmen be as characters on the programs. On the show Fibber McGee and Molly, or more accurately, I should say, the Johnson Wax program with Fibber McGee and Molly, the famous pitchman Harlow Wilcox would always show up at Fibber McGee and Molly's house.
Here, Molly, you better keep the diamond.
No, you take it. It makes me nervous.
You take it. It was sent to you.
But it was meant for both of us.
Well, you're a woman. You ought to have it.
You're a man. You can guard it better.
Yes, but Chief,
hello, folks. Hey, what are you looking so serious about?
Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Junior. We were just debating about who should have custody of the diamond.
What diamond?
This one that Aunt Sarah just sent us. See?
Hmm.
Look at it glitter.
Yep.
Well, I haven't seen anything gleam like that since I gave my last demonstration of how Johnson's self-polishing glow coat makes faded and worn linoleum glisten like new again.
Waxy, is there any subject that anybody could discuss that you couldn't whittle a sales angle out of it?
I don't know. Let me think. No.
What if this had been a ruby, Mr. Wilcox?
Well, that would have been a coincidence, Molly. It was my sister Ruby I was demonstrating the glow coat to.
I could do that. Do you have an underwriter that you like? Yeah, I mean, you can just name one. You got? You want to play it?
All-wheel drive auto.
All right, there you go.
You're going to be working on that?
I've already got it.
Okay.
I've already got it.
Are you going to sing it?
Oh, no, I haven't sung it yet.
Oh, okay.
I haven't sung it yet, Katie, but I did have, I'm pretty feeling pretty comfortable this morning because I did come in after getting my car serviced at all-wheel drive auto. You know, all-wheel drive auto, they always make a day start like with sunshine, just like KUOW.
And if you like the sunshine that KUOW gives you, call us at 206-543-9595.
I guess that's why they have writers right here.
Yeah, this is better planned. But we still have $3,919 to go to hit our goal for weekday at $14,000. So don't forget to call 206-543-9595. Now, if you were doing that, Steve, I'd probably have to start calling you Otto or something like that as a nickname.
All-wheel drive auto makes sure that they always reach their customers reach their goals, their destinations in time. Just like you'll help us reach our goal by calling 206-543-9595.
Very nice. Well, you heard Fibber there call Harlow Wilcox Waxy.
Waxy. Waxy
of
Wilcox
course, that's
for
a
Johnson
nickname
Wax.
Because, you know, he's always talking about Johnson Wax, and they wove it in. They make it funny, right? We're trying to do that here during the pledge drive. Remind you to support us. So anyway, let's move on, shall we?
No, it's always embedded.
No, I know. It's always embedded.
It's always embedded, Katie. You know, I'm going to put a wax on this pledge drive just like Johnson's wax.
Oh, yeah? How are you going to do that? By calling 206-543-9595? That's where the real polish comes in. You pledge at the $120 level and you get a subscription to Edible Seattle.
That'll put a polish on your meals.
Put a polish on your meals. Very nice. Well, because sponsors during the Golden Age of Radio, really, they really did have their say in everything. They didn't necessarily have control over certain details, but the actors back then were auditioning for ad men, not for producers, like they do now, to get their shows. And once they had the show, they represented that sponsor, not just on the show, but in their personal lives. A great example of this comes from the voice performer Mel Blanc, who's most remembered for this character.
What's up, Doc?
Yeah, Bugs Bunny. And he was very busy because he could do so many voices. So he's jumping from one radio show to another. And he remembers an example of how controlling the sponsors were because they would always be making sure that he's smoking the right brand of cigarettes for the show that he's performing on. So he'd be smoking Lucky Strikes when he's on with Jack Benny. He'd be smoking Camels when he's with Abbott and Costello. He had to do Chesterfields when he was performing with Bing Crosby. Of course, he thought this was absurd because he's on the radio.
Yeah,
how
do they know
what he's smoking?
How do they know what he's smoking?
But he said, you know, companies were so insistent that actors comply with the inspectors who carry out these inspections that in like a Gestapo-like zeal, they said he had. He said it is what they had for it. He also remembered getting in trouble for smoking Pall Mall cigarettes on a Lucky Strike show, even though both of those cigarettes are made by the same producer.
Well, can you imagine if they were doing that with us? Do you have your radio tuned to KUOW, Steve? Well, no, I tuned it to KEXP for a little bit. No, that's we're going to dock you for that.
I'm sorry. You do realize that you are representing KUOW in the community.
You were listening to KVI in your car? I don't think so.
What if we were doing that to the members who hadn't pledged their support, you know? Or once they did pledge their support, we're like, you only wear KUOW brand clothing.
That's right. You have to wear this T-shirt every day.
But we don't do that. 206-543-9595.
We just do it once or twice a year. You have to wear your KUOW goodies, and you have to call and pledge your support to get them.
Well, advertisers don't have that kind of power today. Well, actually, just not in that way they don't.
Different.
Because they still have a lot of influence in what content you're hearing, because they require that networks get as many eyes and ears as possible. So being a popular network means that you are more successful at selling commercial airtime. And attracting the most eyes doesn't always translate into producing the best shows or producing smart content. It's sort of the idea of if it bleeds, it leads. You're just trying to hook them in. It doesn't really matter if it's something that people need to know or if it's of quality of any kind.
I saw a blog post that went around the Twitter sphere about mocking the PI, because the PI website, in order to get the eyeballs they need, to get the advertisers they need, is doing a lot of republishing stories that are about, well, that they're either lurid or they're sexy or they're celebrity.
Photos, a lot of photographs.
It's not the same. It's not your dad's PI.
No. It's not. It's a lot of like, what? How has this star aged today?
Yeah. And then there's a couple of reporters toiling away, doing great work, sort of sort of like in it, covered with all these other ads, and they're harder to find and they're harder to read. Yeah, well, that's we don't do that, right?
Well, we're hoping not to do that. Yeah, well, we're hoping that's not our fate someday, where we'll have to like change to a commercial radio.
But that'll never be our fate. I mean, not as long as people support it. That's what they're supporting, right? A different approach to news and information.
And they're also supporting the idea of not being covered in advertising or having what they're listening to controlled by advertisers.
Right.
206-543-9595.
That was subtle.
We still have $3,919 to go, and I would like to believe that someone will call and take that number down.
Well, perhaps it's time to ask for the folks who can afford to pledge $1,000 and who appreciate not hearing a lot of advertising. Maybe you could help us out. We like to make our goals. It feels so much better. And you're a goal-oriented person as well. So how about helping us out? 206-543-9595. I'm not waxy. I'm just who I am. Nobody comes and knocks on my door and says, "Hey, Steve, I understand you were reading a magazine that's not one of our magazines. Can't read that anymore."
You can only read Edible Seattle.
That's right. From now on, I'm sorry, you're getting your news from the New York Times? No, that's not appropriate. From now on, it's just USA Today for you. We don't do that. 1-866-677-5869. We operate in a democratic forum. We get your ideas. We share the airspace. We want to hear from you.
Well, another thing they did on the radio was get kids invested by advertising with prizes.
A fudgicle, delicious and full of healthful energy. Swell to eat, easy to digest, and made fresh every day. Don't forget to save bags from fudgicle, popsicle, and creamsicle for those wonderful free prizes. Cameras, dolls, sweatshirts, and just lots of other things.
Listen, kids. Be sure to get your free popsicle gift list at your ice cream store. Don't take no for an answer.
Did they say healthful and made every day?
Made fresh every day.
Made fresh every day.
Fudgesicle.
Well, it's probably made fresh every day.
Probably is.
Whether the one you're eating is the one they made fresh that day, they don't say.
Another matter. They also made kids feel like they were part of a club. So it's not just prizes. It's also being part of a club. They would offer them prizes to send away for that help them decode secret messages. Here's a little example from the show Little Orphan Annie.
Attention, please, for an important secret message in Annie's mystery radio code. 2-9-19-4-12. That's all, and you've just heard another important secret message in Annie's mystery radio code. And say, if you haven't joined Annie's Secret Society, I want to remind you, you can still join without sending in a penny. All you do is print your name and address, then just send it in together with all of the special gold-colored seal that you can find only underneath the lid of a can of new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine.
Chocolate-flavored Ovaltine.
That's the Little Orphan Annie telematic decoder pin that parents were begged for. If you were still to have yours today, or if you do still have yours today, you can sell it on eBay for about $50. The disappointing thing, as you know, Steve, is that the decoded messages really generally weren't that interesting. They would usually be something like, be a good citizen, or as we know, drink your Ovaltine. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
So if we were to have a decoder system in the old style, if we were to send that out as a gift, it would say, pledge your support to KUOW?
Yes, 206-543-9595.
I would like a little more of an interesting message if I were to send away for a decoder.
Well, you know, even though it was a kind of a boring message that didn't quench the thrill of being part of a secret society for kids. And ironically, Steve, while researching this, I discovered that we always think of a decoder ring being the example of this. And I found while researching it that there was never actually a decoder ring made by any show. There were decoders and there were rings, but they were never combined.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So I feel like that should be a limited KUOW premium.
A decoder ring?
Maybe a future pledge drive.
Where you'd have to decipher it by turning the dial on your little ring.
Well, if there never was one, I feel like we could be the first.
Well, you remember when Ira Glass had a little decoder wheel that he gave as a premium one year? Maybe you have that. Someday that'll go for $100 on eBay. Who knows?
206-543-9595. We need to make $14,000. And for those of you who really love the radio retrospective, I would love to hear from you. Old-time radio fans, I'd like to think there were not few and far between in this city.
Old-time radio fans.
Anybody who's an old-time radio fan, give us a call, 206-543-9595. Or if you've just started to get to know a little bit about the Golden Age of Radio through this segment, we also want to hear from you.
You know, we are embedded in the community, and we're also embedded in history. One of my favorite things that are on KVOW. One of the favorite segments is Felix Spinell's This Not Just In. The other one is this old-time radio segment, because it's important to know where things come from, how things evolve. That's what KVOW does. It's all about context. That's why I love the old-time radio segment. Katie's researching away, listening, reading books. There's a lot of folks who have written about it over the years, but who knew about it, and who knew how much of its influence, its DNA, has made its way all the way up into public radio today. If you have appreciated that context, we would love to hear from you at 206-543-9595. Help us make our goal, 1-866-677-5869. Do not delay. Do not delay.
I want to read an email that was sent to us by Judith. She says, I used to wait to pledge during the Vinyl Cafe or during Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me to show my support for those shows. This year, I renewed during Weekday because I love that show, too, and I wanted to get my pledge in early. So what if people were encouraged to pledge early in the week and make a note online or on the phone as to what particular show they want to, quote-unquote, vote for? I think you guys pay attention to the numbers of pledges at different times in the schedule, so this way you could still gather the info and we could get the pledge drive done sooner. But I have to admit, I am one of those loyal listeners who tunes in all during the pledge drive. I like how you guys get a little goofy and rummy at the end of the week. And it feels like listening to my family talking in the other room. I know all of your voices so well. Thanks.
I feel that way. Here's one.
But it's a good point.
It's a great
point. Get it in early. You don't have to wait to vote for This American Life this weekend. Pledge now at 206-543-9595, because really we're just trying to raise the amount we need to continue to keep this station operating and end the pledge drive as soon as possible.
You know who else joins us on a Thursday and helps us understand what we're thinking and feeling and most of all hungry for? Sarah Dickerman, who writes at sarahdickerman.com. She joins us with a lunch recommendation. Hi, Sarah.
Hi there. Feeling a little rummy?
I'm feeling a little rummy.
Depends on where you send us for lunch.
I wanted to recommend a very new business because it's so sweet. It's called Bloom Bento, and basically a guy had been working at Sushi Kappo Tamura and Shawa, which was like a little Japanese pub that recently closed, has now started a business sending you off to your workday with a little bento box.
Oh, nice.
Which is farm fresh vegetables and meats, and I mean, there's vegetarian options, but just lovely. A little onigiri if you want a little extra rice, you know, a little Japanese rice cake. And it's just all market fresh, very sweet. My pickled beets were cut into little heart shapes. Oh. It felt like a loving parent had packed my lunch.
Where are they at?
They are in a pop-up in Kylie's Pizza Kylie's Chicago Pizza, excuse me, in Fremont. And they're brand new, so it's called Bloom Bento. And, you know, they have their fully social media, you know, tweeting and on Facebook, so you can keep up with what's on the menu that way.
That's good. That's the modern times, right? Don't need to take out an advertisement on a radio show. You can just get your own information out through social media.
But you wouldn't know it by listening to commercial radio, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. All right, what's your favorite? What do you like there the best, Sarah?
Well, like I said, it's brand new. I had delicious. They had dino kale, you know, the bumpy kale, blanched and then mixed with like a sesame dressing, goma-e dressing. That was super delicious. Often you'll see that with spinach in a Japanese restaurant, and this time it was with kale, which had a little more, you know, full body.
Very good. All started as a Kickstarter project, and here they are, a pop-up. Hey, Sarah, thanks.
Thank you.
Sarah Dickerman, she writes for Slate, New York Times, other publications. She blogs at sarahdickerman.com. I wonder if she's ever written for Edible Seattle. I don't know. I should have asked. But you know what? We have five of those left. If you pledge at the $120 level, you get a subscription to that. In giving you the kinds of information we just had, where new restaurants are, who the farm fresh producers are. If you support these kinds of little bits of information as well as the longer bits, keep you informed, keep you moving throughout the day, maybe test your hunger. 206-543-9595. We want to raise $2,400 in the next 5 minutes. That's not too hard.
In the next 2 minutes, really.
Two minutes.
Down to you cannot delay.
So ten folks calling $240 pledges in?
Yeah. We need to do it now. I mean, $14,000, 1 minute and 45 seconds to go for Weekday to reach their goal. help us keep this pledge drive moving forward. 1-866-NPR-KUOW, 206-543-9595. Remember, you don't need to wait to vote for a particular show. Let the volunteers know what shows you love, and they'll pass on the message. Let's get this pledge drive done as fast as possible. We got an email, Steve, by the way, that says, to remind you that Johnson Wax makes Pledge, the furniture wax spray that we have today, and that we should work that in next
week. So maybe we call up Johnson Wax, ask them just to sponsor. Weekdays, Johnson Wax's weekday.
Johnson Wax's weekday or listener-supported weekday.
I like listener-supported weekday, and that happens when you call. You become part of that listener support. Lots of people have done it. It's not Johnson Wax weekday. It's not Edible Seattle's weekday. It's not Oxford Press weekday.
Vicks Vapor Rub weekday.
Vicks Vapor Rub Quartet on weekday.
On weekday.
It's your weekday. It's your KUOW, but you have to help pay for it as well. That's what's fair. You pay for the eggs. 206-543-9595, 1-866-677-5869. You have not pledged yet. There's folks who want to talk to you. The phones are full. Always, KUOW.org is waiting for you, but don't wait. We have another show tomorrow. We have more shows to come. You know it's going to come to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It comes a little sweeter with your support.
30 seconds to go to reach our goal. We need you to pick up that phone now and call 206-543-9595.
This program comes to you from Pledge.
Pledge Central downstairs.
Nicely done. Of course, we should have worked that in. I get it. It took me a little while. Johnson Wax makes Pledge. Hello. I was a little slow.
Very nice.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.